One of the most significant impacts from COVID-19 has been on the education systems. Teachers, parents, and students everywhere have had to adapt and respond to constantly changing guidelines. Savannah Peoples is an elementary school teacher here in Gaston County. She's here to tell Savvy Citizen listeners what the teacher's experience has been during the pandemic. Today we have a guest host, Justin Amos, who works in the budget office with me. Justin lives in Belmont and is also a parent of a Gaston County elementary school student. So thank you both for joining us today, and we will just jump right in. Savannah is an elementary school teacher. Savannah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
And where you're from. Where'd you grow up?
Okay. So I have a funny story about this question, and I started thinking about it earlier. When I first interviewed, like, ever to be a teacher, I, like, printed out questions. I was all prepped. I, like, practiced in the mirror, like, 400 times what I was going to say. And I get into a room, and there are, like, 8 people around this conference table, so I'm already, like, feeling like I'm going to throw up. And the first thing they asked me was, tell us about yourself.
Of course.
And I was like, oh, my God, I know nothing about myself. Like, I don't know what to say. How do I not sound weird? And I literally just was like, I like cats.
You could have said, I like kids.
That probably would have been, like, a good direction. So I ended up getting hired, and I asked one of my coworkers. She was like, you were so good. She was like, except for that first question, she was like, all I wrote down on my paper was, she likes cats. But now I know more about myself. I teach first grade in Gaston County. I have loved kids forever. My stepmom taught for like 27 years, and she's still working in schools. And I think that kind of like was very impressionable on me. Like, I would stay in her classroom in the morning and read with her students. I'm from Rock Hill, South Carolina, but I live in Gaston County now because I got married and my husband lives here.
Well, congrats.
Well, thanks.
I know I made a joke to Adam the other day that we named this podcast after you, because don't people call you Savvy?
Yes.
And then I realized, oh, you're married now and your last name is Peoples. So Savvy Peoples is oddly similar to Savvy Citizen.
That's very similar. Yes. Brittany's the only one that calls me Savvy, though. I actually don't like that nickname.
Okay, we won't call you that for the remainder of this podcast. So what's your favorite part about your job?
My favorite part about my job is that every day is new. Like, nothing is ever mundane or dull in the classroom. Like, I never have to think, like, oh, here I go, into, like, just another regular day. Like, you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to be said or what's going to come up when you're teaching. Like, it's all just so, you just kind of have to go with the flow, with whatever comes out of them. You kind of have to take it and roll with it. And I love that. I love that it's always new and exciting.
Justin, how old is your daughter, or what grade is she in? Is she in first?
She just turned 8, so she's in second grade.
Second grade, yeah. I started my career in second grade. I taught 3 years in South Carolina in second grade.
Okay.
And I prefer first, but I also, like, I'm early childhood certified, so that's, like, little bitties. Mm-hmm. But second isn't much different than first.
No. I've got an 8-year-old and a parent, and so my question for you is, what's one thing you wished every parent knew about being a teacher?
The most important thing that I want parents to know is, like, I am human too, and I feel like we struggle a lot in the beginning of the year building a new relationship, and constantly I have to remind them, like, you can just let me know what's going on in your life, because I haven't been through it because I'm not a parent yet, but I am a person, and, like, if you have a bunch going on, just let me know that, like, you're struggling with whatever it is, whether it's virtual work or, like, hey, we have a death in the family or we're traveling. I know what it's like to be a person, and I know what it's like to deal with children, and I'm not here to get you. I'm not here to catch you doing what you're not supposed to be doing. Like, if you're doing the best that you can and you're working as hard as you can with your child, like, that's all that I ask.
Is that specific to virtual learning?
It's mostly virtual learning, but other stuff too. Like,
do you see a lot of parents struggling with virtual learning, I guess, is what I'm asking? And
yes.
It is very hot and cold.
Is that a yes because you were struggling with it?
Yes. At least with mine, it's either there was a lot of struggle in the beginning, and there was a lot of struggle on my end too, because I learned our platform like 2 weeks before I had to start teaching it.
Right.
And got access like a week before they were like, okay, here you go. And so it was very hard in the beginning, because I'm also like, yeah, you can't see that. And it's because I didn't publish it, because I literally don't know what I'm doing, and I'm sorry. But now I feel like we've gotten into a groove finally, which feels good. And it's either like 100 or none. Like either my students that are consistently on every week, their parents typically don't have any trouble. And my students who don't do their virtual work, I just don't hear anything.
Tell me about what it was like when you first found out that you were going to go to virtual learning.
Oh my gosh.
Or I guess when you first found out there was a pandemic, and did you and your coworkers instantly start thinking about what this meant for teachers?
Like, I feel like it took me so long to wrap my mind around it, and right. I still like struggle with it. We actually had parent-teacher conferences like that Friday, and no, it was Thursday. We had parent-teacher conferences, and Friday we were already supposed to be out of school. Mm-hmm. So I remember like talking to one of my parents, and we were discussing like her child socially. And I was like, you know, it would be really great if he could have a play date with another friend. Like, would you like for me to share contact information? Blah, blah, blah. I think this would really help him come out of his shell. And she just kind of looked at me like I was a little bit crazy. And it truly had not sunk in yet that like, oh my God, right. People are like quarantining for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And like, no, we're not having a play date. Nobody's coming over to our house.
I feel like I have to say that to my friends a lot right now.
Like no.
We can't have a play date.
I'm sorry. But even still, like, I definitely, we were out for 2 weeks. That was what they called. And I was prepping to go back to school. Like, I for sure thought we would be back.
You're right. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was thinking, like, oh, my God, this is kind of nice, like an extra spring break. Like, you know, I just kind of get to, like, little did I know.
Justin, what were you thinking when they announced the two-week thing?
We didn't really know what to do.
Right.
My work went from in the office every day to working from home, too.
So yeah.
It was me and my daughter. And my wife had to work at the hospital, so she wasn't home. And so it was figured out as you go. I felt like. Like what the teachers have to go through every year, like have to keep, and I only had to deal with one 8-year-old, not the whole class of kids.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine.
The only thing I was thinking is, oh, good, less traffic on the way to work yes. for 2 weeks. Yes.
So for the rest of that year, we were all virtual, and that was really difficult because I'd already created a relationship with those kids and those parents. So that piece of it was great because I felt like I had a leg to stand on when I was holding them accountable. Like, I know what you're capable of. I've seen you do it, and I need to see this from you. But I cry every year when my kids leave in the summer. Aww. Like, they pull down the windows of the buses, and they're, like, hanging out the windows, and I'm sobbing, like, ugly tears because we've spent 180 days together, yeah. 190, and like all the growth that they do, and just knowing that, I mean, our relationship doesn't end, but it'll never be like it was for that year. Mm-hmm. And so like finishing the year virtual last year was really tough.
A bummer. Yeah.
Yes. So they came through, they did a drive through to pick up all their stuff because they literally left on a Thursday and then never came back. So I like emptied out their little desks and like had to get like their crayon boxes and all their materials into bags, and they came in a drive-through, and I handed it to them through the window, and a lot of them handed me back like a gift, and I just boo-hooed the whole time. Oh, yes.
What happened over the summer? Did you expect anything to change?
Really, there was a lot of waiting. There was a lot, like, we couldn't even prep anything because I had no idea what it was going to look like. Are we going to go back in a full virtual thing? And really, it took, I feel like, forever for us to finally get hey, we're going to be back in plan B. And even then, we had to wait a couple more weeks before it was like, this is what that will actually look like, which was kind of upsetting because I'm a planner. I'm type A. I like to, like, know and get my mind around something. And like I said, like, I learned that we would be using the platform that we use as Schoology, mm-hmm. and then had, like, 1 week prep time is what I feel like to get myself ready and know how to use it.
And you normally teach summer school too. So was that virtual or did that exist?
That was virtual, and I just chose not to this year. Okay. I just felt like that I had, you know, made it through virtual in the school year and I needed a break before going back.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, what if we went back full virtual in the fall? That would have been a lot.
Walk us through what your day is like now.
We've actually gotten into a great routine. We come in and everybody has it's a grab and go breakfast. So when they come in the door, they're asked if they would like a breakfast or not. And it's all bagged up. And what's great right now is the state passed some kind of thing. I honestly don't know, but every child gets free breakfast and free lunch. Yeah. So they come in with their breakfast, they sit down, and I have some kind of morning, it's a review worksheet sitting down for them. And they all sit and we wait for everybody to get there. And then everybody washes their hands, which is nice because I have a sink in my classroom. So we all wash our hands and then we all have breakfast together. And while they're eating breakfast, I'm going over morning work and they're checking it with me.
How many kids do you have in your class?
So I have 8 on Mondays and Tuesdays, and I have 7 on Thursdays and Fridays. I'm in first grade, and that's how the majority of our classrooms are set right now.
Do you have a lot of hand sanitizer? Well, I guess that's already exists in schools. Hand sanitizer everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But do you have plexiglass around the desk or anything like that?
We don't. My desks are 6 feet apart. Okay. So they're socially distanced. They do keep their masks on all day. But we exercise a lot during the day. So and that was a part of my normal routine before COVID. They're 6 years old. They're not capable of sitting and doing for that long. So after each subject, we have a brain break is what we call it. And we get up and they take their masks off and we do some type of guided exercise. And I do not guide the exercise. We use Go Noodle or sometimes I'll get on YouTube and do a Just Dance for kids. Hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious.
Hilarious.
So there's platforms for even the exercise part of learning. That's great.
Yeah.
I think, Justin, I think we need to incorporate brain breaks into our work schedule.
I'm telling you, the difference in and even when I can tell that they're just kind of fizzling and I'm asking questions and not getting anything, I'm okay, clearly, let's take a break, get your blood flowing again back to your brain. And afterward, it's 3 minutes or 5 minutes that they get, and then they're immediately ready to come back and get focused. So we eat breakfast together, and then we do they put their mask back on. We clean up breakfast. We do our morning routine, which is we do all of our reading block in the morning, reading, writing, phonics, because I like to get it in when their brain is really fresh for the day. We have a 15-minute recess. We go outside and it's just us. So, all of first grade has recess, but we're in separate areas. So we're not commingling at recess, which is a big adjustment, but they honestly handle it so well. They make up their own games and they respect each other's personal space really well. And we have another 15-minute recess at the end of the day, which is nice and I actually love that. It's broken up. We used to have one 30-minute block, but I think they need it. They need those two separate times to just relax and play.
A and B cohorts get the same instructions just on different days. Does that cut into the overall year's curriculum, I guess?
Definitely. Definitely. We have, our county facilitators have been great about doing a lot of the hard work for us of digging through our math curriculum and our phonics curriculum and reading curriculum and saying which lessons we can omit, which lessons we can combine. But we're taking a full 180 days worth of curriculum and mashing it down into half of that or less than half. And that is a big struggle.
Do the students get online instructions the days they're not in class?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They're 6 and 7 years old. So I'm not really introducing brand new stuff online. It's mostly review of what I've taught.
Yeah, it's a lot of reinforcement.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
What's one thing that surprised you that you maybe will be able to incorporate into your future classes after this is over?
I think that they need, so after they've been on the playground for 30 minutes, after usually after like 20, they start coming to you. I'm hot. I'm tired. I'm thirsty. Somebody's getting hurt. They're getting bored. But with 15 minutes, it's just enough time for them to get out there and really get out like all their energy or a lot of their energy. And then I haven't yet had to deal with any of the, I'm bored. I don't know what to do. She won't play with me. That kind of stuff. Because they just don't have enough time to really get into trouble.
Right. I was going to ask, too, if not being around other classes as much or even less students, if that's affected bullying at all, if that's...
I do think it has. It's so sweet. Like, one of mine came up to me today, and they were, like, playing a game all together. And they were like, in this class, we're all friends, and we love each other. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you guys are precious. But it's true. Like, they kind of – they have a lot more time. We call it our family with their, like, classroom community. And they do build it when we're in the classroom. But when they're outside and it's, like, student-led, it's very interesting how they, like – they just really get along with each other and love each other because there's a lot less that they're dealing with.
What about any areas that COVID has kind of highlighted as some inequities or something along those lines?
So one thing that is super concerning to me, and I'm sure to parents as well, is the achievement gap. So we have, you know, kids that come into school, one's lower, one's higher. Mm-hmm. And then the achievement gap is like
lower and higher in test scores or
right. Okay. And just, I mean, when they come into kindergarten, you can kind of just tell, but the achievement gap is like every year, if those kids get the exact same instruction, then the gap is just going to get larger and larger and larger.
Right.
So we provide interventions with, a multi-tiered system of support, or MTSS is what they call it. And I feel like last year I like really got the hang of like providing interventions and trying to close that gap between what my students know and are capable of. But now, I mean, I notice, and I hate that I do see it that way, or it's just very apparent. Maybe it's just my room, but my kids that really, really need to be caught up or getting 5 days of instruction, they're only getting 2 days because they're not doing any of their virtual work. And my kids that really were well prepared for first grade and are high achieving, they're getting every bit of their virtual work done. So I feel like that is one thing. It worries me. Like, what kind of second graders am I sending up? Are they going to be ready? Is there anything I can do to fix it? I don't know. Like, I'm...
Or is more pressure going to be put on their teachers the next year or when they are back in class?
Or what the impact will be for...
Long term. Long term. I mean, these are very formative years. I mean, I'm literally teaching them how to read. And I'm like, you're only getting reading instruction, some of them, 2 days a week. And then you go 5 days without any instruction. So when you come back, I am reteaching what I've taught last week because you haven't seen it in 5 days. And then I'm trying to add on top of that anything I can possibly squeeze in. That's tough.
I've worried about, you know, kids are so used to touching each other and hugging each other constantly, you know, and hugging everyone, really.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And they're told now that they really can't do that. Yeah. It's not safe. And so I'm wondering what kind of developmental...
Like social.
Yeah, social, yeah. If that will cause any social developmental issues in the long run. Or maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it could be that they have a better respect of boundaries and space or something. You know, space. It could be good or bad, I guess.
Mine have been so receptive to all of that. Like, when they said over the summer that we would be going back and this is what it would look like, I was freaking out because I'm like, these kids are six. Like, there's no way they're going to wear a mask all day. All that I'm going to do, like, they're going to be swinging it around on their pencil or, like, throwing it across the room, literally slingshotting it. I mean, this is what I imagine. Yeah. My kids are so respectful of each other and of me. Honestly, I feel like they're better than adults most of the time because I'm like, okay, you have to wear your mask because that's safe and we're protecting you and your friends, and that is what it is. None of them are like, why do I have to wear this? Or I don't like the way it feels. They just do it. And if any of them forget or, like, they'll get up from their table to go do something and don't have it on for some reason, like if we're finishing up lunch, they immediately are like, aware of it. And if not, somebody quickly reminds them. Like, they've been so great about, like, being healthy and just, like, respecting the fact that they have to wash their hands. And we kind of taught, like, in the beginning of the year, I feel like we did a good job of, like, yes, normally being a good helper would be picking up something or helping your friend when they drop something. But right. Now we don't want to share germs. And they're very respectful of that.
I'm usually the person who, like, if somebody misses the trash can, I'll, like, pick it
scurries.
Up.
Yeah.
trying to train myself that I can't be helpful in that way now is even
right.
hard. That I can't just, like, pick somebody's cup that they missed or whatever.
Yes.
But that's actually really encouraging, I guess, to know that these students are handling it very well. So maybe there's some other types of learning going on that
right.
make up for, you know, if there isn't a gap there.
How are the adults doing in the school?
I think they're doing quite well, I guess. I feel like we, like, especially my team of our first grade team, we're, like, very close friends. And it is difficult to be, we are kind of isolated for the majority of the day. And going from, like, spending, I mean, not that we spend a ton of time together, but we used to get to see each other in cafeteria. We would see each other at recess. We still plan together. We socially distance during our planning. But it's hard sometimes to be just in a room with our kids all day. And I know it's hard for the kids, too, to not get a change of scenery. But I feel like everybody in our building really respects, like, each other, regardless of what you feel. This is the expectation. And our principal is constantly reinforcing us. Like, I'm so thankful that you guys are cognizant of each other and respectful of boundaries and that type of stuff. No, we socially distance
okay.
all the time. Lunch, recess, all of it, we're socially distanced. They keep their mask on unless they're exercising. We wash our hands. Well, we all wash our hands when we get there, regardless of if they're eating breakfast or not, because I'm like, it's not going to hurt for you to just go ahead and wash them. We wash every time before we eat. We don't use water fountains. Not fun, but it's fine. We make it work. We have, like, I don't have a bathroom in my room, but we have one right across the hall. So there are four stalls, but we only use two of them.
Okay.
So that they can socially distance in the bathroom. And if we're going as a class, they use both of the stalls. But if I'm sending them out of the room to go, I only send one at a time because I can't monitor them as closely when I'm not right there.
Does the school provide all the hand sanitizer? Is that something that teachers are having to pick up? Okay, that's good.
No, the school has provided. And they've been so great about, like, let us know if you run out of this or you run out of that. They gave us this spray bottle of something. I don't know. I know it will literally eat the name tags off the desk, though.
No,
like,
way.
It is strong.
Wow.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't use it when the kids are in the room,
right.
but it's nice to, like, have. I use it to wipe down. Our special area teachers come into our classroom and do, like, art and music and PE in our room instead of us toting them to their classroom. So when we're switching off, I sanitize my desk, the mouse, the keyboard, and whatever they'll need. And then they sanitize it when I come back.
So what do you expect moving forward?
Oh, my gosh. I've kind of learned just not to expect
yeah.
anything.
Yeah, you're
just to
right.
be flexible.
Truly. I mean, I feel like that is, like, your only option right now. I have no idea what direction we're heading. I don't know what the numbers are like. I know nothing. I do what they ask me to do, and I keep an open mind, or I try to at least. Because I truly, in the beginning of the year, I thought we'll be here for 2 weeks, and then once anything happens, they'll shut us down again. And clearly, I was wrong. And I'm glad I was wrong.
Savannah, if you were the queen of the teachers for one day, what was one thing that you would change?
Attendance. I would change attendance. I don't know how I would change it exactly, but I know I don't like it right now. I feel like I take attendance all day long, which is, I don't because I've taught myself not to, but I honestly feel like sometimes I know that's not the expectation, but I'm like, how else is this supposed to happen? So I take attendance for my kids that are physically in the room. And if they're supposed to be there and they're not there, they're absent. But then I also take attendance for my virtual kids. So it is truly a nightmare. And I've kind of figured out how to make it work for me, but I have to check all the platforms that they could potentially be on because, yes, they're supposed to be on this one on this day, but what if they didn't get on that one and they got on a different one? Well, they're still doing their work. And it also just changed where in the beginning of the year they told us if they logged on to anything, even if they got no work done, if they logged on, they were counted present, or present offsite is how we mark it. Because they're like, essentially, that's the same as them coming into the classroom and doing nothing. They're still there.
You're right. Yeah.
They're just not getting any work done.
Yeah.
So that's how we were doing it. And I was checking, you know, five different platforms for all different kids. Now they've changed it to where they have to, every day, they've got to show that they've gotten work done. But, yeah, it is just
a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. It's because they can also, let's say they didn't get online for any of their virtual days, but if they come back to school and in their folder they have work that they've completed, then I've got to go back and correct that attendance where I marked them absent, and I can correct it for up to 5 days. I can go back in and fix it. But again, it's just, it's such a struggle to figure out who's done what and who I marked what. And, like, I can't remember what I did 5 minutes ago, much less 5 days ago. That is one thing that I don't know what the solution is. Truly, I don't know. But I know that I don't like the way it is right now.
Have you had to send anyone to the virtual principal's office?
Yeah. I have not. My kids are great. And I feel like behavior concerns are so much less because I've got 7 kids or 8 kids in there at a time. I'm like, who are you about to act up with? You know, what are you about to do that's wrong? No? And like reading groups, I was going to say, that's another positive. I think I don't have reading groups anymore because we can't meet with them in a group. But I feel like I know so much more about my kids as readers because I can only sit with them one-on-one. So there's no other distraction other than, like, literally, I'm just totally tuned into what one child is doing. And it used to be there were 15 other kids in the room when I'm sitting with the one. And now there's only 6. So it still happens where, like, somebody pulls out their tooth or somebody throws up, you know, their kids and stuff like that happens, but it's a lot less than when there were 15 of them.
That's another unanticipated positive, I
guess.
Yes. So Savannah, do you have anything else you want listeners to know?
I was going to mention one more positive. So because of all of the like CDC regulations of like wearing the masks, and then our custodians clean our rooms constantly. They deep clean on Wednesdays and Fridays, and then all throughout the day, they're coming through and, like, cleaning the door handles and the sink and the paper towel dispenser. I've been, and I feel like my students have been, so much healthier this year than in years past. Like, I almost always, at the beginning of the year, get a terrible sinus infection just from being back in the room and around the kids. My husband gets sick way more than I do because I have a strong immune system and I bring all of the sickness home. And he hasn't even been sick this year, so.
You know, now that you've said that, though, you're going to get sick.
Of course.
I was going to say the same thing. Like, I've noticed I haven't gotten as sick, but, and now I'm going to because
right.
I said it. So, but yeah, you're right. I bet that is a positive for
it
sure.
It is. It is.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, it's been very interesting. I know nothing about school right now, so I definitely feel for all the parents out there and teachers.
Yes.
But thank you, Savannah. We appreciate it.
I am so glad I was able to give you some insight.